I come to you this morning in Jesus' name, greeting you in that way. What a blessing to be back together as saints in the house of the Lord this morning. I think the last time I was supposed to share, Brother Levi took my place. Thank you, Levi. I was traveling on I-70 West listening and was blessed by the message. And so the burden that I had, I still have this morning. It had went away a few times and came back. So bear with me today. I think God is an all-knowing God. I don't think that I know that. And when I say that, it's because of what has been shared already this morning. The foundation for the message has been very well laid. And I've just been so blessed. Lauren, just your story this morning. You took that off of the board. Thank you, because I wanted to use the board, but I was also going to make a point out of that. And then Brother Marlon shared in children's lesson about the little black dot. And the theme of this message today, one thing I want us to remember if we forget everything else today, is what we focus on expands. What we focus on expands. That was in my notes here. I didn't just take that from Brother Marlon, but thank you for sharing that anyways. And so the message today, that's not the title. We're going to turn this morning to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be reading out of Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. If you wanted to give this message a title, you could title it Past, Present, and Future, because that's what we want to talk about. And I told the brother this morning, I feel like I've got too much content for the time we have here, but we'll see what God does here. I think this could be or should be maybe broke up in three different messages. However, we don't want to drool on the past, but the past is who we are, where we've come from, and a lot of times where we're stuck in. So we're going to be talking about the past. We're going to be talking about the present, and we're going to be talking about the future. So bear with me. We'll see how this all comes together. I have a lot of content, like I said, but God will have his way, would be my prayer this morning. Let's start reading in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. Just going to break in here. This was the first part of this chapter was Paul talking about all where he came from, his pedigree, if you will, who he was, the great person he was, and all the right things he did in his past. But I'm going to break in here in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13 is the one we want to zero in on here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. This is the point that I want to make about our past. The first point about our past is, let's do what Paul did. Let's forget about the past. Let's focus on the present. What are some things we can think about when we think about the past, our past? What does the past do for us? Is the past still doing us a favor today? Is the past helping me reach my goals in the future? What does the past have to do with the present? One of the things that the past does have to do is it can remind us. Like in Ephesians 2, and ye has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We should never forget what we've been redeemed from, our past. But I think that's about as far as we should go with our past. Is sometimes it's good for us to look back over our past, see where we've came from, and it can help us and encourage us for the present and take us on into the future. We should forget our past in the sense that it's not haunting us. It's not continually going with us. We're not carrying our past experiences with us. We're not living by our past experiences. In one sense, you could look at your past as the food that you ate last week. Can you go back and get that? Would we want to try to go back and get that? That's about as good as our past experiences and our past things that we've experienced in the past. That's about the most good they can do us. Is the food that you ate last week left an impression on you, or you probably wouldn't be here today. So we need our past. That's where we come from. Without a past, we wouldn't be here today. But the past, let it be the past. That's what it means, the past. It made us who we are today. But if we have been transformed, quickened, like Ephesians said there, then we should be a different person. We're no longer like we were in the past, but we still come from the past. We can't take it away. I don't know, are you following my train of thought here? I'm trying to help us see that the past doesn't determine our future, doesn't have to determine our future, but it does. It did make us who we are. In another sense, it's like the gas we put in our vehicle last week. We can't go back and get it. It's gone. It's burned up. It's in the past, but it took us somewhere. So our experiences in our past have shaped and formed us in some way and to who we are today, but there's no way to go back and redo it, is there? Is there any way, has there anybody ever had luck going back and redoing the past? You can go back and think about it. A lot of people are still thinking about it. A lot of people, can I say, enter eternity backing up, going the wrong way, Lord. What we focus on expands. And when we think about it in that sense, we think about if we're focusing on the future and we're focusing on God and what really matters in our life, that's what's going to expand for us. That's where we're going to be drawn to. It's kind of like all of us have heard that if you're driving down the road and you start focusing on watching a tree in a field somewhere, if you just keep focusing on it, you'll end up there. You'll probably hit that tree. So let's focus on the Lord. That's the mark we want to hit this morning. Some people try to use their past for their salvation. That's the only way I know how to say it. Some people try to use their past for their salvation. I'll try to make a point here what I'm talking about. I was driving down the road a few weeks ago, and I went by a car that was sitting there, and there was a guy walking. And so I figured out that he had a couple of chucks in his hands, and I figured that meant one thing, and that he's out of gas. So I went, turned around, came back, and anyway, by the time I got there, there's another person that pulled up. He had a newer vehicle, and we were trying to figure out where to put gas in. That's how complicated our present day is today, but we were trying to figure out where would you even put gas into this vehicle. There wasn't a normal gas cap. Anyways, his boss pulled up, got him gas. Long story short, I started talking to him about the Lord. That was kind of what I was after in the first place. And so he instantly jumped to an experience in his past to try to let me know that he was a Christian. And before that, he was using some pretty foul language and different things, and I'll let you decide from there. But anyways, he told me a story real quick. He said when he was younger, one night he was in bed and something woke him up, and he said it must have been the man upstairs that woke him, which was probably true. But here his neighbor's house was on fire. And I don't know, I can't remember all the details, but basically he got up, got out of bed, went over and supposedly saved the mom and the little baby that was in the house. And to him, that was his salvation. That was what made him a Christian, because God used him back there. Does our back there, does our past experience, is that what we're living on today? Do we have some past experience that is making us fit for heaven? Are we living by our past experiences, good deeds we have done? And the reason, maybe I should back up, that this message was born out of just thinking about, well, my past, our past experience. And I would say half of the church here in the past year has moved in from past experiences. I think it's safe to say that half of the church here is in the past year has moved here. And they moved here because they saw the church here at Redeeming Love going a direction. Now, it would be interesting to hear all of you say, have you always been very satisfied with that direction since you're here? Has it sometimes looked like there was cars going the other direction, like Lauren said? Or have you been satisfied with the direction that you saw before you're here, and a year later, are we still going that direction? And if you don't think so, I'm not entirely blaming you, but I'm just trying to help us see here that us as people have a tendency to start out well because we see something going a right direction and we see a future in it. So we start out with that. Hey, we want to go along with that. And then pretty soon we kind of get mixed up. We start focusing on wrong things. And before long, we're not quite sure which direction we're going. Kind of looks like Lauren's drawing there. There's exits here and there. And that's how our journey is. There's exits everywhere. When you're going down the journey of life, there's exits everywhere. And the easiest thing for us to do is turn around and go back, because that's where we came from. We know the path we have came from, so it's easier to go back than it is to go forward. And so let the past be the past and focus on the future. I shouldn't say that. Let's focus on the present. I was going to draw on the board here a little bit. I think I'm still going to, just for the sake of clarity. No, I'm not the best artist here, but we're going to try this anyway. We're going to try to make a walking stickman. That's not the easiest thing for me to draw. Now, I think you can all see that. So, one thing about our past, yet before we try to move on to the future, is a lot of us view God through our past experiences. That's how we view God. Is God limited to our past experience? Praise the Lord that He's not. Sorry, am I not working? Our past experience would tell us that that one's probably no good. Am I on now? Okay. Is that better? Okay, good. Sorry for the ones listening in, I guess, because you probably missed part of that, but that's okay. Anyway, let's not view God through our past experience. Let's view God through our present experience, because in fact that's the only way we will experience the Lord, is right where we're at today, in our current present situation. That's going to be our experience with the Lord. Some people view God only through the future. Maybe someday we can experience the Lord. If we do all we can now, and we do whatever we know to do, we do the best we can, someday maybe we can see the Lord. Is that really how it is? No, it's not. Our experience with God starts today, presently, our current situation, wherever we're at, whether we're in bonds, we're stuck, we feel stuck, no matter if we're on the mountain or in the valley, that's where God is today. That's going to be our experience with the Lord, is wherever we're at currently. And so God is never limited to our situation. God has always got power to deliver us from our past, from our present situation, but He can't deliver us from the future. because that's where we need to go. So let's focus on the present, the current situation we're in. I know you can pick that apart, and you just have to take that, and that's why I say I'm trying to take some shortcuts here, because we don't have time to talk about all the different details and aspects of that. So let's not live by our past experiences because we helped somebody, some mom, we saved some person, or we rescued a few people. I could say with Paul that, you know, I think I helped three drowning people, and maybe that could be the reason I would go to heaven. It's because I did a good deed. I'm not saying we should never do good, but that will never take us in to get us to heaven or where we want to go. Growth can be painful, change can be painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong. This is a quote from Spurgeon. I love it. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It only empties the day of its strengths. Further down in Ephesians 2, in verse 11, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles," we're talking still about our past, "in the flesh," Gentiles in the flesh, "who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Remember that he said that you being in time past, that's this right back here, that stick man is going one direction here. In times past, we were Gentiles. All of us were lost. All of us were headed the wrong direction. We were going to hell, if you will. And we have been in, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision," but then further down, "but now," he says, "now in Christ Jesus," not because we decided one day, you know what, we're going to try to go the other direction, "but in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." That's how we got turned around, and hopefully we're headed the right direction. Let's talk about the present a little bit here. When we think about the present, when I talk about the present, I'm talking about our current situation. This morning, right here in church, we can't go back. We can't redo this morning. We can't back up all the way to our house and redo it. If we made a mistake on our way this morning, we responded wrong to our wife or children, we cannot back up and redo that. We're here now, and we're not going back. We're only going forward. So let's live in our current present situation, whatever that might be, wherever you find yourself. The present, one thing about the present, the hardest thing to do is to live in the current reality. That's the hardest thing to do. A lot of people, including sometimes myself, like to sit around drooling over the past or dreaming about the future. That's the easiest thing to do. You can sit at home, you can lay in your bed, you can be driving down the road. You can do that wherever you go. You can drool over your past, and you can dream into the future. But when you're living in the current reality, there's work to be done. There's requirements. There's things that come with that. There's responsibilities. There's things that just don't feel good when we live in the current reality. I was going to share this 2 weeks ago, and Naomi was leaving for Hawaii just a couple of days later, so I'm still going to use her for an illustration this morning. Welcome back anyways. I had to think, you know, Naomi was anticipating going away, going to Hawaii to spend time with her sister, and Michael, on the other hand, was probably not so excited about that because she was leaving, and he knew that this was going to be, 10 days without his wife and son. And how is this all going to go? Now, if Michael would have took her to the planes, to the airport, dropped her off, and stayed there until she came back, just stayed right there, didn't go home because he was waiting for her to come back. And I'm thinking in light of us, what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for the return of the Lord? And if we're waiting, if we've been redeemed, that's what we're doing, really. Honestly, we're walking here, we're waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if Michael would have stayed sitting there until she would have came back, there would a lot of things would have fell apart. In fact, maybe she wouldn't have came back. She might have went somewhere else. But it's just a point I want to make. Michael's life and the boys or the people, or his family back here still went on. There was 10 days of life. Current reality. We had some good times while she was gone together. There was just life that went on. Reality is life goes on no matter what you do with it. You can sit down, you can drool over the past, you can think into the future, life still goes on. And all we do when we sit down and drool or dream is we make our current present situation worth because we're not doing anything about it. We're just sitting there, trying to watch life go by. Some people, maybe I should leave that for, well, we'll get there yet. The challenges in life shrink or expand based on our courage. I think if Michael would have stayed sitting there at the airport, the whole idea of the 10 days, the little black dot in front of him would have grown worse and worse and worse because, yeah, he just, when is she ever going to come back? I've got 10 days to wait. And you get the picture. The challenges in life shrink or expand based on our courage. That's a quote by Maxwell. Philippians 4, let's turn to that. Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. Let's be content in our current present situation. Not everything's going to be hallelujah, maybe, today. Not everything our current experience is a lot of times. If we live in the realities of today, we face challenges. Paul, if you look at the life of Paul, Paul wrote all these great things, and we read them, and we're amazed at the person Paul was. But do you know why he was the person he was? It was because he lived reality day by day, the shipwrecks, the things that Paul went through, the beatings Brother Dennis talked about a week ago, some of the things that he went through made him who he is. Not just who he was, that's who Paul is. That's how we know him. How do people know us? Are we constantly going around talking about our past? Are we still stuck, held in hostage by our past? Is that what we talk about? Or do we always just talk about the future? Are we always just talking about the future? And we can think, well, we should be encouraging each other about the future life in Christ, and that's right, that's good. We should encourage each other, but if we're just talking about the future, that's not very encouraging to people because people can't reach that right now. That's not where we're at yet. We're headed that direction, but we're not there yet. Let's talk about our current reality, the present day, where we're living in, whether it's on the mountain or in the valley. Let's talk about those things. If that's where God is, that's where me and you are. Today, that's where we're at. So, okay, back to Philippians 4, 11 through 13 says, not that I speak in respect of want, this is Paul, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Have we learned that? Are we learning that? Let's go to verse 12. I know both how to be abased, how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Is that our testimony today? Am I okay with being hungry? Am I okay with being abased or abound? What is our testimony? What? Yeah, are we living today? Are we content today? Are we content in the situation we're in? And I'm not saying you can pick that apart. Some of us, I think we should always have a desire to go further and to grow in our journey. Some of us are going through some hard things right now. That's good. Let God mold you. Let God shape you. Let God use those hard things, those mountain experiences to make us more into His image. Because that is the only way we will experience God is if we do it today. In our current reality, our current situations, Just lean on the Lord. He will guide and lead you. He will make you a Paul. He will do with you whatever he wants to do. See, life is kind of like a bicycle. Our experience, our Christian journey can be kind of like a bicycle. All of us are excited sometimes when we were younger. I remember when I first took my first bicycle ride. That's kind of how life is. Our Christian life can be that way. It's very exciting, but it also can be dangerous if we're not careful. But one thing I wanted to point out about the bicycle experience is that a bicycle will not go unless you make it go. You get on it, you steady it, and you pedal it. As soon as you get off, what happens? The bicycle, you know, flops over it, it falls over. That can be our Christian experience. Our Christian life, our growth, our experience with the Lord is no greater than what we're pedaling. That's where we're going. That's how we get somewhere is when we put our effort into it. We walk with the Lord. We accept the hard things in life. We embrace them. We learn from them. We pray through them. That's kind of like the bicycle. But as soon as if you're going uphill, maybe I should have said a bicycle going uphill. None of us, when we're going uphill, that was the hardest thing for me to do was go uphill with a bicycle. I loved hills when I was biking, but it was only because of the downhill experience, not so much the uphill experience. It gets tiresome. You got a long hill. When I was first started biking, I biked to work about 3 to 4 miles every morning and evening. And on the way there in the morning, I had a long hill. But in the evening, I had to go back that same way. And so that long hill looked a bit different after a full day's work and you're tired and you want to get home and you have about a 3/4 mile of uphill. But if I would have just biked uphill maybe half of the way, got tired and said, you know what, I'm going to take a break and just stop pedaling. You know what would have happened? I think it's we all know what would have happened. It goes backwards. That's what happens in our Christian journey. If you get tired and you just stop, guess where you're going? Backwards. So let's embrace the hard things in life and keep pedaling, and because that is the only way we're going to go forward. Okay, let's talk about the future a little bit. How do we live in the future? Is it possible? Has anybody here ever lived in the future? If you do, raise your hand. Yeah, I think all of us probably have dreamed into the future how it will be once we get to a certain place. You know, once I would have my own home, once I would have a wife, once I would have my children would be growing up a little bit more to where it wouldn't be so hard. I remember, I could tell you about a lot of things we dreamed. And the thing about it is those times come and go and you're still dreaming. And if we do that, we get carried away and dreaming into the future. Life comes and goes and we never experience life, really. We never learn to enjoy and be content like we read there in Philippians. We never learn to be content in our current situations or find joy, find God, find things in the current situation, in our current life that are a blessing, because there are. In our family life, for example, no matter what stage our family is in, we can learn to absolutely enjoy our family. But we can't if we're dreaming about the future, or if we're drooling over the past. We can't enjoy our family today if we do that. And I've spent way too much time doing that, wishing that we were at a different place, wishing that our family situation would have been different. How about wishing that our church experiences or our journey would have been different already? All of us can think about things in our past that would have made life so much easier if it would have not been that way. If that person wouldn't have said that to me or wouldn't have done that to me, it would make life so much easier for me today. I would just like to say that I believe if we're thinking and drooling over those things, we're making our current situation really hard. Not just for me, but for everyone else around us. If I had to think about Lot, you know, Lot was looking into the future, wasn't he? Just as well as Abraham was. And we can see what Lot's choices did, where they took Lot. And our choices and our dreams will take us somewhere as well. We can either go Abram's way or we can go Lot's way. And the thing about it with Lot is Lot came out of it. But how about his family? How about his wife and children? Did they make it? See, when we dream about the future and we dream the wrong way and we don't live by the current situation we're in and we go with God, wherever God takes us, there are casualties along the way. And Lot made it, but his family lost out. So let's go back to, let's turn back to Philippians chapter 3 there. We're going to continue. We left off in verse 13. We're going to continue on in 14 when we're talking about the future. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 14, and we're going to read until the end. Now we're going to read about the future. We got done reading about the past there up to 13. So 14 says, I press towards the mark. This was Paul. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In verse 20 there it says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. In that sense, it's okay to dream into the future when we're looking for the Savior. We're waiting on the return of our Lord and Savior. Now we can dream into the future. Do we feel stuck today because we don't know the future? Are we so scared about the future that we're just stuck? We don't feel like we can make any move because we don't know how the outcome's going to be. We can't do this or we can't do that because I don't know for sure how it's going to be. And ain't that just how it is? I think the future is probably about as uncertain as, or maybe I should say about the only thing that's certain about the future is if I was to close my eyes and walk off of here, you know what would happen. That's about as certain as the future gets for us. Now, I don't know how many of us, I wonder, have been on the Sears Tower before, and you're all the way up there, I don't know how many thousand feet, is it, does somebody know? I think it's 2,000 feet, somewhere in there. It's a little bit higher than I would like to jump, but when you're up there and you walk out, they got these glass walkouts where you can walk out, you know, and when, I think if you could use that illustration for the future. If God would really let us look into the future, that's probably how we would react. Because I, for the longest time, I couldn't walk out there because I could see the future, right? And it was way down there. And so I think that's a lot of times how it is for us. If God would really let us see the future, how it really is going to be, we wouldn't be able to step out. There's no faith great enough, I don't think, that would carry us out if God would let us see the future sometimes. And so let's be glad that we're not able to see the future. But let's trust God today, because that is where we're going to experience God, is right here in our present, current reality, our current situations, whatever we're facing, that's where we're going to experience the Lord. Now, we can turn around because we don't know the future for sure. We don't know for sure what's going to happen. We can turn around and go the other way. In fact, that's what I did on the Sears Tower. I looked for a long time, and I always put one foot out there and started putting pressure on it, and I just couldn't do it. It was just too much. In the meantime, there's other people. I wasn't sure was it phase or just because there were a lack of common sense, but they're out there upside down, you know, leaning up against the glass wall, and my stomach turned. I couldn't do that. And so I would look and try, and then finally I'd turn around and walk back, and I'd go gift shopping back there because that was the easiest thing to do. I didn't have to think about that, you know, thousands of feet down. But I wasn't away from danger. Just because I walked away from that didn't mean I was now safe. I was still just the same height, you know, I was still as high up as if I would have stepped out there. And I'm back there walking around gift shopping, all of a sudden I hear this awful rumble. And when you're a little bit intense, anything can get your attention, but this was awful. I mean, it was a rumble. And it took my luft away. It took my breath away, just this rumble. And here goes a huge plane sailing by. And guess what I did? I instantly saw into the past, Twin Towers. And now it wasn't about the glass anymore. It was about when they're going to hit and what's going to happen to me if they do. See how we think? Our current experiences, our current situations can either inspire us to go further or make us fearful when we try to go back. So, needless to say, all of a sudden I was kind of ready to go down. And then I realized that I have to get into a elevator that was made by hands and made by humans. And so, what if I get in this elevator and the cable tears or something happens? See where my mind went? I mean, it just went all over the place to where I was shaking. I was so fearful about the future. Things I couldn't control were out of my control. The only thing I could do was live right then and there, current situation, right? Current reality. If I grabbed a hold of myself and just said, okay, this is going to be fine. I talked to myself. I don't know what the other people thought around me. But everything's going to be okay. I can make this. I can do this. Because not only was I thinking about the future, I had memories from the past going up that elevator. See, I was all excited going in. I was with other people. That helped a lot. But this was a big elevator. And we get into this thing, and this thing starts going up and up and up. And then all of a sudden I wondered, wonder how far we're up already. And then I realized there's a little thing up here that's got numbers on it that tells you how far you're going up. And that was a mistake because I started watching that little box. And yeah, but all of a sudden I thought that I was going to explode because I'm just a bit claustrophobic when I can't see the future and there's no door behind me. So by the time we got up, I was numb. I was so ready to get out, but the door opens and all you could see is sky, right? Because there's glass walls up there and you just see. And then I realized, I literally thought I was going to have to climb out of the elevator and lay on the floor for a while because I was so shaking and so scared. But anyways, I didn't even plan to talk about that Sears Tower experience, but I think it brings out a point that when we look around, we dream into the future, we look into the past, that's what it'll do to us. It'll make us very fearful. It'll cripple us to do anything about our current situation because we're not living. We're not asking God to help us in our current situation. Back then, I don't know if I prayed or not because that wasn't really who I was back then, but praise God that plane didn't hit there, or I would have had a future, I'm afraid. So let's be very thankful if we have a hope, if we have peace within us, and we're living in the current situation. See, I think we could probably do this, and it would help us to not want to turn around. If we just got very real missing something here. If we just got very real sometimes and labeled things in life for what they are, it might help us. If we look at it that way, I don't think any of us would want to turn around, would we? But a lot of times we don't think about it. We don't think about the consequences, or we don't think far enough. When we're drooling or dreaming, I don't think we think far enough a lot of times. We're just thinking about the good things. I have to think back over when we first moved to Michigan about 12 years ago, 10, 12 years. We moved because, again, we saw a future. We saw people going a direction we wanted to go. So we moved there. But what do I do? About as soon as I'm there, I did what the children of Israel did when they passed over the Red Sea. I started looking back and saying, wait a minute. I forgot about all the things I left. I didn't realize that, you know, there's going to be all the changes involved, all the sacrifices. You know, now all of a sudden it's not all about the hype of moving and doing all these new things or whatever, but there's reality. There's life goes on. My life went on. My family's life went on. And people eat. We eat. And when we eat, that means we need to work. And so there's money that has to be made. There's just a lot of things that go on in life that we never even think about. And all of a sudden, I had to live in the current reality. It wasn't just about all the dreams and hopes and things that we were thinking about. It was life, real life. And I realized that these people that are walking are paying a price to go that direction. It's not just a free ride. And so coming back to my burden for this message for all of us newcomers, if you will, it's not just get on their bicycles, not just get on the people's bicycles that you were impressed with the direction they were going. Everybody has their own bicycle, if you will. Everybody has their own experience, their own journey, and will need to travel their own road. Nobody's going to carry you. That song that talks about, may I be carried to on a bed of roses. Yes, yes, that's right. So I think a lot of us don't like the hard work that's involved in the Christian journey. We like the benefits, we like to see the results, or we want the results, but we don't want to pay the price a lot of times. And I would say that let's still be encouraged and impressed by the direction of the people that let's have that same impression on our heart that we did when we first came. That doesn't mean that we should just look to each other and be impressive where we're going, but I think we can still, so easily, we can get sidetracked and start looking back where we came from, how easy it was back there. You know, we had everything we needed. Why did I even come here? It takes you about, 6 months to start thinking those types of things. Right at first, it's great. We're now part of this body. We're part of this church that we were impressed by when we first looked at it, the direction it was going, the future we saw there. We're impressed by that. But it doesn't take long to realize that, there's work involved. And anytime we live in the current reality, that's how it's going to be. There's work involved. And if we go there and retire, we know what's going to happen. We're going to help. Not only are we going to make shipwreck for our own lives and our families, but we're going to help that church be a shipwreck. We must live in the current reality. We must pick up our part. And when we're living in the present, which is the only thing we have, we cannot live in the future. We cannot live in the past. We have to live today. And when we live there, God has given us a responsibility, and that is to work. Do our part in serving God, in blessing other people, and being a blessing for my wife, my family, my brothers and sisters, my community. What did we do for the community last week? That'd be a very interesting conversation if we really start talking about it. And I'd probably be the first one to in shame, because when we get focused on us, and a lot of times when we get really focused on us, It's because of something we want to achieve for ourselves. It's not so much that we're looking for improving other people and helping and serving other people. Sorry, I'm getting a bit sidetracked here. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, "But we always open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So that glass that I talked about in the Sears Tower, I think that's great. When we can see God through a glass, we can see into the future because we can see the Lord today. We can see His majesty, His just His vastness, His greatness. And when we see those things around us, we see the power of God moving in people's lives. That's encouraging. And that gives us hope for the future. And that keeps us, that puts gas in our cars, that puts a step in our bicycle. It just, when we see the greatness of God as through a glass, we see His glory, we can think into the future. We can dream into the future in that sense. But when it comes to life, we have no choice but to live in the current present reality. Let's not forget our theme. Can somebody tell me what was the theme that I talked about right at first? What we focus on expands. Let's remember that. If we're focusing on our past, it'll expand. It'll get bigger. I am now sure that that's what he meant. You know, that's what happens when we focus on those type of things. I'm so sure that, you know, that's why he did this to me, so that now you can see, you know, today he's doing da da da. You know, you can play those things out in your own heart or mind. I wouldn't encourage you to do so. But that's just what happens. There's a lot of imagination goes on when you start thinking that way. In Colossians 3, verse 4, I think I'm going to close with that verse. Colossians 3, verse 4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." That's where we want to go. When Christ, who is our life, who is our current situation, that's who we are. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that's in the future, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. See, we're not going to be left out. Just because if we're not here thinking about how we're going to do everything here in the future, how this has all got to work out, this is what we have to do, this and this and this, so that we can appear in glory, we're going to miss it if we're trying to do that. But if we just trust the Lord, like it says, when Christ, who is our life, if our life today is Christ, if we have peace and assurance in our heart that Christ is in our life, when he appears, then will we also appear there. That's what this verse is saying. Shall ye also appear with him in glory. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Hopefully this made sense to you. I feel like I skipped over some things that I shouldn't have to bring a little bit more hand and feet to this message. Hopefully it's clear enough for you to glean something from it. Let's remember that what we focus on expands. If we're focusing on God, that'll expand in our lives. If we're focusing on our past, that'll expand, which we can't do nothing about. And if we focus on our future, that'll expand as well, and it'll make us very fearful. So let's live in the current reality. God bless you, brothers and sisters.